If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the midweek edition of The Yard. We're starting this show on Tuesday night. We're wrapping up on Wednesday morning, just trying to get ahead of the game. As you guys are aware, my Aunt Teresa died on Monday evening or Monday night. And so I've got to head down to Aliceville for the visitation and spend some time with my family. You know, you wish circumstances were better. But the thing that I have learned, and I referenced a little bit of this yesterday, we need each other, right? We like to pretend that we're an island unto ourselves, even though, who was it, Henry David Thoreau that told us we weren't? But the longer that I live, the more that matters. Like, I see these, like these videos, like of these soldiers coming home and like surprising their family, you know, that, and you see just this very, very genuine emotional reaction to the unexpected surprise of seeing someone you love that you've worried about. And all of a sudden in that moment, everything is right in the world, especially like when I see the kids, right? I see those kids will be at school and dad or mom will show up and unexpectedly and surprised. I could watch those videos all day. It's so good. It's like chicken soup for the soul. Remember that? That's what it feels like to me. It's like, it's just a reminder that we need each other. And in times like these, when you lose somebody, it's important to go not just to pay your respects, even though that's a huge part of it, but it's to be there for one another. You know, we need each other to make it through difficult times. And again, as we have shared so many times, in your mind sometimes you get caught up in terminal uniqueness. And you begin to think, you know, nobody understands. Isolation is a very negative thing. We need community. You know, we need to be together. As we learned during COVID, right? You know, we were also kind of isolated. And you begin to kind of ask yourself, man, it's like if this, you know, hey, this is what it holds for me. You know, what is life worth living? If I can't get out and enjoy, you know, congregating with my friends and going to ball games and going to concerts and just kind of being together, we need that. We were not built or designed to isolate from one another. I don't want to chase that rabbit trail long, but it's just one of those things, too, you think about, you know, sporting events and, you know, going to concerts, right? And, you know, celebrating life. You know, it's like the chances of all of us that love Mississippi State getting together and having a drink in a bar and everybody getting along, pretty slim, right? Pretty slim. But for a few hours on Saturday, we get together and none of those other things matter, right? We just put a pause on all that and say, you know what? This person's a bulldog, so they're my friend. They're my family. Even if it's just for 4 hours, they're my family. And I think it's one of those things that we have to accept and embrace is that we're in this thing together. We are in this thing together. And, you know, it makes you consider your own mortality, too. You know, I mean, it's like you begin to, you know, your mind kind of gets the better of it. And you start thinking, you know, like, hey, you know, Aunt Teresa was fine 2 weeks ago and all of a sudden finds out she's got pancreatic cancer and she's gone. I mean, it's just how quickly it happened. It's difficult to process. And you feel like that the family never really got a chance to say goodbye. You know what I mean? It's like, and I don't know the best way. I really don't. And I can tell you it was tough seeing my dad struggle for a long time. It was. It was difficult, but he was cognizant. We got a chance to visit. We got a chance to kind of clear the air, you know, and I think there's a gift and all that stuff too. But as I mentioned to you guys all the time, none of us are promised that bedside vigil with all the people you love around you and you having a chance to tell everybody how much you love them because you may not be cognizant of that moment. So tell them now. You know, God forbid you get hurt in an accident, you know, and you never get a chance. So As I told Dana earlier, I said, you know, moments like these remind me that every day we have together is a gift. It truly is a gift. And I get so caught up, it's like, you know, got to make the sausage again, you know, got to make donuts, as the guy says, you know, the old Dunkin' Donuts commercial. But it's like you get up and you got to write this, and life is kind of regimented this time of year. And it's like, okay, well, then we'll come home, we'll watch TV together, and we'll fall asleep. We'll snuggle and fall asleep, you know. And then tomorrow we'll do it all over again. And one day that's not going to happen, you know. And so I think it's important to understand, you know, we all have mortality. We all want to, you know, die as old people, you know, when we've seen our children, you know, achieve some things in life and see our grandchildren thrive and have a chance to see our grandchildren possibly, you know, graduate college and get married. That's what we all want, or most of us anyway. But the reality of it is none of that is promised. And I do my best to live a life of gratitude, but I'm exceptionally grateful today. Even though we have suffered an unspeakable loss within our extended family, I'm very grateful to have been born a descendant of Otis Robertson. I'm very grateful to have been born into such a huge family. I remember when, you know, my dad was, you know, in his final days, we kind of calculated up. At that point, there were already over 100 descendants of Otis Robertson. That's pretty crazy to think about. You know, and that's 20 years ago. You know, and so, you know, there's been a few more branches put on a tree since then, but I'm so grateful to have been born into this family. And when you get around South Mississippi and people find out that you're part of, you know, the Jones County Robertsons, that, you know, people kind of perk up a little bit, you know, and it makes me really proud to know that my family name is so well respected in that neck of the woods. So I'll make the pilgrimage. I'll stop at Ward's on the way down there, you know, and we'll enjoy a big one and a frosted mug root beer in honor of Aunt Teresa, and then we'll go pay our respects, and then we'll make the way back to Starkville, and we'll get back to the grind. But again, I say this on the show all the time. I love each and every one of you, even if you don't love me back. I do. I would think you like me a little bit. You listen to the show. But I know that there are some people out there that are hurting. I know there are some people at times that are estranged from their families. And I don't judge anybody for that, because you never know what's happened. Sometimes it's a misunderstanding. Sometimes there's some real issues. But at the end of the day, I hope that you can find peace with that, because none of us are getting any younger. Life is short. Death is certain. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. We love them. We do. And how many times have we gotten together over the years and celebrated a big event at one of the Eat With Us restaurants? I mean, it's just part of the Mississippi State experience, right? You know, your kid graduates from state, you know, you get your reservation at Harvey's. You go celebrate. You know, you go to the grill. You go to Bulldog Burger Company. Like, when you come up here, I mean, your kids are like bugging you, right? Hey, we're going to Bulldog Burger Company, right? Is this what we're doing? Because that's almost as important as a game in their minds, right? They got to go get those spring rolls, right? They do. You do, too. I've seen some of you lately, your pictures on Facebook. You're not using your filters, and I can tell that you are somewhat spring roll deprived. You need to remedy that for the betterment of society. Head to one of their three great locations immediately. University Drive here in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. After you get those spring rolls as your appetizer, which will satisfy you, you've got a lot of options. The menu always has consistency with the core group, right? But they're always kind of adding things and trying things. Ask about the specials and find your own favorites. You know, maybe you want something a little heartier. Let me recommend the Smokehouse. You talk about, you know, getting a little influx of protein. There you go. The Smokehouse. That's the one to ride with these days. And if you're feeling like a salad, hey, BLT, that's the way to go. They got a lot of different options, but I prefer that BLT because the portion is so substantial. Even though, like, I'm eating green, it's incredible. It truly, truly is. And, you know, I like my salad with a little boiled egg in it when I can get it, too. You know, sometimes you can get that. Sometimes you can't. But the BLT salad always kind of scratches me where I itch. Bulldog Burger Company. The place where people go to meet, M-E-A-T. Okay, let's jump into our look at Texas, right? And so we know what kind of year they had last year. We'll run through it briefly, then we'll kind of get to how they got there this year. Texas ended the year 13-3. in the college football playoff, you know, and it's like we thought, hey, you know, maybe we'll extend this SEC national championship thing. You know, maybe we'll get a chance to do some, you know, celebrate Texas joining the league. You know, that would be interesting, right? But, yeah, I mean, it didn't work out that way. But it's so interesting when you go back and think about, you know, really historically what that season meant for Texas. And I remember when Steve Sarkisian got that job, there were a lot of people like, yeah, I don't know. And it's interesting, too. Let's kind of back up just a little bit. You know, Mack Brown had some big years from 1998 to 2013. And then people say, well, the game kind of passed him by. But, man, he put together a streak, man, that was absolutely incredible. Was it 9 straight double-digit win seasons? And the 3 that preceded it were 9 win seasons. And he has that one clunker in 2010. They go 5-7. And then, hey, you didn't get back to double-digit wins. You didn't get back like the BCS NAFL championship game, those kind of things. But you still had winning seasons and bowl appearances. And then Charlie Strong, you know, he was like, everybody in the SEC said, hey, you know, Charlie Strong is kind of a coach in waiting. It's just a matter of time before he gets a head coaching job. Of course, he does a good thing at Louisville. And then goes to Texas and has 3 straight losing seasons. Yeah, 3 straight. 1 bowl appearance. They go to the Texas Bowl. They lose that in 14. And then it's back-to-back 5-7 seasons after that. Well, then they go get Tom Herman. Everybody thought, hey, this is an up-and-coming guy. It's going to be a big-time coach. And he goes to Texas, and he puts together 4 winning seasons. But the only one of them was really worth bragging about. That's that 2018 year. They go 10-4, and they win the Sugar Bowl and finish with a top 10 finish. Outside of that, we're talking 7-8 win seasons. Well, they go get Sark. 5-7 in year 1, 8-5 in year 2, and then in 2023, it's a 12-win season. At that point, you kind of work your way back to that. Like, that's the first 12-win season since 2009. So you feel like you're on the right track. You lose in the Sugar Bowl. Close out your Big 12 conference membership. You join the SEC, and everybody's like, oh, it's going to be a lot different. And Sark's like, watch this. They go 13-3, 7-1 in the SEC. Win the first round of the playoff, and then lose in the Cotton Bowl, which is kind of ironic. And now they're 4-2. And so, you know, people like all over Sark these days, too. They're like, hey, do you think you should give up play calling? Do you think that Arch Manning should be benched? I mean, you know, it's like, guys, they're 5-2. And it's like Sark's become a victim of his own success. So let's take a quick look at this year. You open up on the road in the horseshoe against the defending NAFL champions, and you lose 14-7. And again, I've said this many times on the show, I think in hindsight, preseason number 1 ranking for Texas was premature. And that's not to say that they're not a very talented team. They are. But with a first-time starter at quarterback, I think it was probably projecting a little bit too much. And again, as I've said a million times, man, the expectations on the shoulders of young Arch Manning are probably greater than anything that we've seen. And I mentioned this in an article today, probably since Todd Marinovich. Yeah, and some of you young bucks have no idea who I'm talking about. Todd Marinovich was one of these guys that, you know, was like eating grass as an eighth grader, you know, trying to find a way to get things going, you know. So we'll figure some things out with all that. But, yeah, so it's a tough thing. You go on the road, play a defending national champions, you get beat 14-7. Offensively, things were not great. And Ohio State defensively is going to make some other teams feel the same way. Well, then you bounce back and you beat San Jose State 38-7. You don't cover, but you win big. Then you get UTEP 27-10, but you don't cover. And you finally cover a game. Sam Houston State, the spread was like 48. They win 55-0. I remember this too, and I thought it was really unfortunate. So Arch Manning like runs over this kid from Sam Houston, who's probably like a former walk-on. The game's over, and he kind of stood over him, and I'm like, you know, that's a bad look, right? I understand being a competitor and kind of getting jacked up, but you haven't played well. Sometimes it's best just to toss the ball at the official and go, you know, go celebrate with your teammates. I thought that was a bad look, and I said, you know what? The football gods are going to come calling about that. You know, you got to respect the game. You got to respect your opponents. Well, then they go to Texas. I mean, they go to Florida, pardon me. And begin this road trip, right? Like they opened up on the road at Ohio State and played three straight games there at Darrell K. Royal. And then they begin like this extended road trip, which I think is kind of an unfair anomaly in the schedule. As it works out, they're not going to play a home game for a month. So you go to Ben Hill Griffin and you lose 29-20. And if you remember, like, Florida came out loaded for bear. Like, we were driving to Texas A&M, listening to this game. Man, Florida came out and just went right down the field, man, like a knife through butter. And then late in the game, Florida has to kind of hang on, and they do. And a lot of people thought, well, maybe this is a turning point. And then it wasn't, not for Florida anyway. But since that time, you know, Texas has won a couple. Not necessarily, you know, a showcase of offensive mastery by any stretch of the imagination. But they win in the Red River Shootout in the Cotton Bowl 23-6. And then last week, as we kind of discussed on the show, when you got to go play a Mark Stoops coached team at Kroger Field at night, it's just weird. I can't really describe it in any other terms. It's just weird because they make you so uncomfortable. Right, they run these odd fronts, they run some bare fronts at times, they do some odd and late stemming. They are determined to negate the quarterback run. So I felt that Arch Manning really wouldn't be a factor in the running game, and they would give him some looks that maybe he hadn't seen before, and it may stymie the offense. Well, it did, but Texas does enough to get out of there with a win. They win 16-13 in overtime. And again, very pedestrian game for Arch Manning. And Sarkisian was even asked in postgame, did you consider a quarterback change in game? And he's like, no, I did not. But that's kind of where they are right now. It's like, hey, you know, we're 5-2, but we're Texas.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
We shouldn't be struggling against a 2-4 Kentucky team, but we did. And there were times I thought Kentucky was going to pull this thing out. I picked Kentucky to cover just because of the weird circumstances behind it all and the fact that Texas has really struggled offensively. But you go back and you look at this thing, like how does Texas win this game? Texas had 8 first downs in the game. 8. Kentucky had 26. Texas had 47 yards rushing. Kentucky had 137. Texas had 132 yards passing. Kentucky had 258. It's nuts, man. Total offense, Texas with 179 yards of offense, Kentucky with 395. Guys, Kentucky ran 31 more plays than Texas did. It's nuts. The numbers don't make any sense. You know, special teams kind of bails them out a little bit, but it's absolutely crazy to look at these numbers and say, well, how did Kentucky lose? Well, they just did. They're not a great team. And you look at, like, the punt return numbers. We talk about how this influences it. Texas had 2 punt returns, averaged 44 yards. Yeah, 2 for 88. That'll shorten the field for you a little bit, too. That was a big part of this thing. Shortening the field and kind of giving a somewhat pedestrian offense an opportunity to maybe minimize mistakes. Third down conversions. And again, it's just incredible to look at this stuff. 7 of 18 for Kentucky, 5 of 16 for Texas. Guys, Kentucky had the football twice as long as Texas. The Texas offense only on the field 20 minutes and 37 seconds. Kentucky had the football almost 40 minutes. It's nuts, man. Yeah. You can go blow it up yourself and look at it. And you look at all this and it's like, really, this is a tale of two teams that are struggling offensively, and then the team that probably has less talent found a way to get it going. They just couldn't finish drives. That's what's so crazy, and that's what I think carries over to this week. Whoever between Mississippi State and Texas is able to finish drives is going to win a football game. When you got to start selling for field goals and, you know, playing field position with punts, even though it's part of the game, you're probably going to come out on a losing end of this thing. Nobody scores in the first quarter in this game, which is crazy. Texas goes up 7-0 at the break. Kentucky makes it a 7-3 game. And then Texas answers back. It's 10-3. And then in the fourth quarter, Cutter Bowley gets loose on a quarterback run. It's a 10-10 game. And then late, Texas kicks a field goal. And you think that's going to be it. It's going to be it. There's less than a minute left. No, there's not. Kentucky ties it up. Yeah, they tie it up. So, makes it 13-13. They force an overtime period. And, again, it becomes a battle of field goals. That's where I think Mississippi State is in this team. You have got to force them to kick field goals and not let them sustain drives at the end in an end zone. Now, that's not breaking any news. But that, I think, leads to a little bit of frustration with Arch, where he tries to do a little bit too much. That's important for us to understand. Make the quarterback uncomfortable. And again, guys, when you're only completing 12 passes, you typically lose. I mean, just let that kind of sear for just a second. Arch Manning completed 3 passes a quarter, and they won the football game. He was sacked 3 times. Quintravian Wisner was leading rusher, 37 yards. And part of that, you know, and I'm sure I'm told they're going to try to give it a go this week. Part of their offensive struggles is because they've been a little bit banged up at running back. Cedric Baxter didn't play last week. He practiced yesterday, so they're going to try to give it a go with him, but he's not 100%. And, you know, Texas running backs have always been kind of the heart and soul of that offense. You know, saved the Vince Young years, but even then, they had some guys that could run the football. But, yeah, your leading receiver in that game, 3 catches. DeAndre Moore Jr. had 3 catches for 37 yards. And they asked him earlier this week, do you still have confidence in 16? He said, I have the utmost confidence in 16 and the utmost trust in him. He's going to come out next week and do what he needs to do. I don't know if that's correct, DeAndre. I really don't. And this is where I think Mississippi State's changes defensively with Mike McIntyre and Coach Paul Rhodes could really pay some dividends here. I think that's an important aspect of it. They will have a game plan, I think, in many respects that will likely mimic a lot of the things that Kentucky found success with. So let's kind of get inside the numbers here. We mentioned Arch's numbers. 114 of 189, so he's completing right at 60%. And when you think about kind of what Sark has done historically, you'd like that completion percentage to be a lot higher, probably closer to 65, 66%. But 1,449 yards, which is 13th best in the Southeastern Conference among quarterbacks. He has a dozen touchdowns against 5 interceptions, throwing for about 207 yards a game. And again, when you've got special teams and defense that are really good, you can kind of afford to be a little bit conservative on offense. I don't think they're necessarily being conservative. I just don't think Arch is quite there yet. I still think he's very talented, and I think he's going to have a great career. This is a learning year for him. And I think some Texas fans just aren't willing to accept that. We've got to take advantage of this and make them extremely uncomfortable, and get to Arch. You got to put hands on him. You do. We talked about, you know, the rushing attack. Quintravian Wisner leads the team now with 222 yards. Arch Manning is the second leading rusher at 193. So nobody's really setting the woods on fire, but they've had kind of a by-committee approach. Jonah Williams has played in 4 games. He's got 152 yards to his credit. Christian Clark is another that he's got 129. So you've got a half dozen guys with about 100 yards plus. So they're spreading these carries out a little bit, trying to keep guys fresh. And again, some guys have been banged up too. The receiving numbers, not nearly as gaudy as you would expect. And so a lot of these numbers, too, came in non-conference play. They've been very, very, very limited in what they've been able to do against SEC opponents offensively, and a lot of that's because of quality of competition. Ryan Wingo leads the group. 24 catches for 320 yards and 4 touchdowns. And again, they want to spread it around a little bit, but when you're not completing the ball with a high level of proficiency, it's tough to get guys going. Parker Livingstone wears number 13, got 3 touchdowns, 308 yards to his credit, 15 catches. And DeAndre Moore, we mentioned him a little bit earlier, had 20 catches on the year. And these guys have double-digit, you know, type average left depth of reception. But the numbers, for the most part, just don't jump off the page at you. And again, when you start looking at these numbers just in SEC play, and we're going to do that right now just because I think it's important to kind of have some real context here. DeAndre Moore, in 3 SEC games, has 9 catches for 162 yards, and that leads the team. Wingo's got 11 for 130. Both of those guys have a couple touchdowns. But Arch Manning's thrown 3 SEC touchdowns and 2 interceptions. So, you know, the numbers are not great in that respect. Arch, 49 of 83 for 59% against SEC opponents for just 561 yards. So averaging just 187 yards a game. It kind of is what it is, right? And sometimes there's a self-loathing Mississippi State fan. It's like, well, he's due for a breakout game. Yeah, I just think it's one of those things, too. They just want him to kind of stay within himself. And as long as you're winning, you got to defend your guys, right? But that offensive performance at Kentucky, give Kentucky a lot of credit for that. But again, this Texas offense, absolutely operating at less than expectations. Looking at the defensive numbers, Anthony Hill Jr. had a big game against Kentucky. He leads the squad with 33 tackles. Michael Taffey has 26 tackles, and as referenced in the postgame, he goes, hey, you know, the SEC champions last year struggled to win by 1 point at Kentucky. And that's true. I don't know that that really explains away the anemic offense that they've had most of the year. That's a part of it. The game wrecker, Colin Simmons, he was originally credited with 7. They went back and changed it. But he's got 6.5 sacks this year. That's a guy you got to know. And he's a guy, too, who's been a team-first guy. One of the reporters asked him, said, Sark said, right now your team's identity is your defense and special teams. He goes, and offense. He goes, well, that's not what Sark said. He goes, yeah, but no, we're a team. Offense, defense, special teams. Everybody's got a role. I love that about a kid, right? And so just saying, hey, I'm going to stand up for my guys. So it's clear they've got a good culture there. Texas kind of synonymous with good secondary play. They got 5 picks on the year, which is half of what Mississippi State has. State currently leads the Southeastern Conference with 10 interceptions. They have 5, and they've got 12 pass breakups as well. And so, you know, maybe things are kind of turning the corner a little bit, but I think a lot of teams really have just tried to play ball control offense with them. That's all in conference play. But, you know, I think that's the thing you look at, you know, if you are a, you know, a purveyor of Texas football. Looking at overall numbers now, the usual suspects, Michael Taffey with 51 tackles and Anthony Hill with 49. But, these guys will get after you a little bit. And it's actually 8 sacks overall for Colin Simmons, 8 overall. So I share that with you because this is an elite defense, giving up 11.3 points per game. They're one of the best in the country when it comes to scoring defense. Looking at some comparison numbers here, just to kind of compare what they've looked like really against, you know, SEC opponents. And because outside of Ohio State, these other teams, they were absolutely outclassing them, right? There's no question about it. They were able to outclass them. As we mentioned, we'll work in reverse order. Kentucky outrushes Texas by 90 yards and had 18 more carries. Again, kind of a ball control offense. And we talked about how anemic it all was. But you go back the week before, the win over Texas, over Oklahoma, offensively, it was not a showcase. 302 yards offensively for Texas, 258 for Oklahoma. And you win 23-6. Well, a lot of that's special teams, right? And then, you know, it's how it all kind of lines up for you. You go back and look at that Florida game that they lost. Florida outgained them by 116 yards, 457 to 341, and outrushed them by over 100 yards. And we'll look back to the Ohio State thing, too. They outrushed Ohio State, and actually outgained them, too, but still lost a football game. You know, and so, but in SEC play, it's been awfully interesting. And you're kind of looking at this like average yards per rush, because I know that, you know, the best way to let your quarterback settle in is to let him hand it off and move the sticks. 1.7 yards per carry last week against Kentucky. Good numbers against Oklahoma, 3.9, but against Florida, 2 yards. So this, again, has not been, you know, a great offense and certainly not a great scoring offense for sure. Looking at some overall bigger numbers here as we get ready to get to our first break. Texas averaging just under 27 points a game, as I mentioned, giving up 11.3. That's the tail of the tape right there. They got 122 first downs as an offense. They've allowed 111. You start looking at the net gain here on the rushing. They've run for 1,046 yards and allowed 587. Now, we ran the football against Texas a little bit last year. We're going to have to do it again this year. If we have any hopes of winning this football game, and I believe we do, we've got to be able to run the football successfully. Don't know what's going on with Fluff yet. We'll get our first availability report on Wednesday. I suspect he'll be listed as questionable, maybe even doubtful. But, you know, we'll see. And if he's not quite, if he's 70%, let him sit another week. Passing numbers, they've thrown, you know, completing, as we mentioned already, you know, about 60%. Got 1,531 yards a game. Their opponent's 1,371. Total offense, and this is, again, when you consider who they played in the non-conference outside of Ohio State, this number is maybe not as good as you'd expect. 2,577 yards of total offense against 1,958. So even though you beat Sam Houston State 55-0, and you beat Texas UTEP, you weren't able to kind of get a little separation there. Kickoff returns, you know, not a lot of those, I guess. They're doing a good job, I guess. They've returned it 9 times, averaging about 16 yards. Everybody, like, just wants to take it 25 these days. But you start looking at the punting stuff, and this is where I think Ethan Pulliam can make a difference for us. They're averaging about 44 yards a punt. The net is only 38, though. 11 of 13 in field goals, and Shipley's been really good for them. Penalty-wise, been a little bit of a problem. Not terrible, but a little bit. 55 penalties on the year, about 67 yards and penalty yards per game. And again, Texas not maintaining possession. Their opponents have had it over half the time on the year. Third down conversions, not terrible, 38%. Opponents right at 31%. That's where State you want to beat them. And Kentucky probably scripted it up the way they wanted to. They beat them in time possession, and they beat them in third down conversions. And those numbers usually go together, hand in hand. Texas opponents have put the ball on the ground 12 times, but Texas only recovered 4 of those. But Texas only fumbled 3 times. That's good strength and conditioning work. Only one of those was lost. 21 sacks for Texas and just 13 for their opponents. But, you know, I'm going to tell you right now how I feel. I expect Mississippi State to win the football game. I don't know that I would have said that beginning of the year, but again, we talk about this all the time. You never know what your opponent's going to look like when you get here. The fact that Texas is playing its 4th consecutive game away from home and that each week their offensive input seems to get exponentially worse, I don't think that's going to turn around by playing another road game, especially against an SEC venue like this where, you know, it's going to be loud. And I'm sure it would be much louder and much more well-attended this weekend had we won against Florida. But I also think about the psychological aspect of this. If you're Arch Manning, you're a young guy, and listen, he appears to be grounded for a young man. He really does. He really appears to have a good head on his shoulders. But you got a lot of people chirping, and it's hard to avoid that, especially as a younger guy. You got to learn to, you know, kind of develop some alligator skin. But in addition to that, too, You got a lot of people in his family that are Ole Miss folks, right? And I'm not in any way, you know, taking a shot at the Mannings here, not at all. But he knows what that game means to some in his family and to some around him within his circle of influence. And so I think there's probably a little bit more pressure on a young man that hasn't handled the pressure exceptionally well. So I think all of that are factors, and the fact that State has been so close. I think State is going to come out with a tremendous amount of urgency in this game. I don't think it's going to be a shootout. It may be a game that ends up in the teens, and we may need a non-offensive touchdown to win this thing or to feel like we can't. First 1-20 probably wins the game, and I think that's going to be Mississippi State. And listen, if we can block up, we're going to be in much better shape, but having Albert Reese back is big. Obviously, you saw that last week, but I'm picking State to win a close one. And again, the spread started at, what, 8.5, and I think it's down to 6.5 now. So we're going to ride with the Bulldogs to win and obviously cover. That's my feeling today. All right, time for our close with Blair, Player of the Day. Blair Chandler's my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. Blair gets things done. That's why it's closewithblair.com. He can get you to the closing table when so many others can't. Save this number in your phone, 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Blair, licensed to practice in multiple states. So even if you don't live in the great state of Mississippi, Blair is a guy that can still handle your mortgage loan origination. 25 years in the industry, nobody stays in an industry this cutthroat without knowing how to get things done. Whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, your retirement home, possibly chance to refi, or maybe even that game day condo that may prove to be more affordable than you think, Blair's the only name to know. And there have been times in the past, maybe you've applied and been denied. It may not be you. It may have been you had the wrong loan originator. Give Blair an opportunity to serve you, get that pre-qualification letter, and see your real estate agent jump into overdrive, getting you into your new home. Let Blair Chandler help you in every aspect of it. Closeofblair.com. All right. Our SEC, our player of the day, pardon me, we're going to go Albert Reese, and I'll tell you why. We're going to have to run the football. Number one, maintain possession, convert third downs, and I think ultimately to win this football game, we're going to have to outrush Texas. I think Davin Booth's got to be a big part of this thing. Xavier Gayton, of course, had a bit of a miscue last week, running off right side. I think the play was there to be made as the Bulldogs pushed inside toward the 15-yard line. But in order for us to get where we need to go, we're going to have to run, I think, primarily off the right side behind Big Reese and put ourselves in a situation to win this football game. I think Albert Reese paves the path to victory. So we're going to highlight him today as your Close with Blair Player of the Day. Okay, now it's time for today's Top 10 List. As always, brought to you by Kalido Guitars. That's C-A-L-I-D-O guitars.com. That's a Mississippi State-owned and operated guitar shop based out of Lake Jackson, Texas. You can stop by and see their beautiful showroom whenever you're in the area and bring home some gear with you. If maybe traveling down there is maybe not in your plans right now, you can visit them online at KalidoGuitars.com. We'll give you a promo code too. It's BSR. You know it well. You can use that in person. You can use it over the phone. You can use it online. And how many times do you buy something online from somebody else and then things are not exactly the way you want them? It's almost impossible to get somebody to help you. You got to deal with all these online bots, and as well, you can just send it back and let's just get it right the first time. That's why when you speak to Kalido Guitars, they'll walk you through the process and do everything to ensure that you are the best player you can possibly be. Sometimes you need some motivation to kind of get life moving in the right direction. You want to play a little bit more? Get a new guitar. Yeah, you'll feel a sense of beauty in that moment. It's like, you know what? I own this beautiful guitar. I need to practice more. And you should. We all should. There's just something very stress relieving about plugging in, playing a couple power chords, and just kind of letting the noise resonate around you. You owe it to yourself. You do. Visit their website at KalidoGuitars.com. And listen, it doesn't matter what level of player you are. They are your guitar shop. You can be a beginner, be an intermediate, or be even be a professional. They've got some entry-level guitars, and they've got Josat original syndicated type instruments that, you know, his signature brand. You know, so you can pay in the low hundreds or you can pay in the thousands. This is a one-stop shop for all your guitar needs. Whether you need cases, gig bags, cables, strings, anything you need guitar-related, and really stringed instrument-related, you can find at KalitoGuitars.com. Now, they're going to give you some incentive to do business with them. Promo code BSR, right? That's going to get you 10% discount. That's going to get you no shipping. That's going to get you no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. And they're going to make a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence Fund to help Mississippi State put even more competitive teams on the fields and courts of play. Yeah, how about that? What a great incentive to do business with a Mississippi State company. Be sure and check it out today at KalitoGuitars.com. Okay, had to kind of work on this one. On Thursday, my sweet Aunt Teresa will be laid to rest. And so I thought, you know what? Wonder how many songs are out there, Teresa. We found them. We're able to kind of put it together. I found probably, I don't know, 13, 14 type songs. And there's some songs that just didn't fit. So here we are, our top 10 songs with about Teresa. Not specifically about my aunt, but just about women named Teresa. There's a lot of them out there in the Latin music community, but and some of them are very beautiful. But I didn't know what they were saying, and I haven't taken Spanish since I was in college, and I didn't want to really work through the translation of all that stuff, so I didn't want to take a chance. But here we go. Top 10 songs with Teresa in the title. Number 10, Sonic Youth. You know them. Many of you do. They were kind of part of that alternative rock movement for a while. Teresa's Sound World is your number 10 track from Sonic Youth. I have not been a big Sonic Youth fan, to be quite honest with you. I think vocally, they're really challenged, but they've got a big following. I think a lot of that's just because of the live shows. Number 9, going back about 90 years, it's Dick Haymes with the Andrew Sisters and their song Teresa. The Andrew Sisters, of course, were a big thing for a while. Harmonized, and many of you are kind of know about them. Legendary in many respects. Number 8, we're going to showcase Eddie Cochran. Eddie Cochran, of course, the author and performer of the great song Summertime Blues. You know that one well. Well, here's a song, Teresa, from Eddie, that I think is also worthy of note. Number 7, this is a little different for me. You guys got a big following. It's not really my thing. But this song has kind of a cool vibe to it. Again, I think vocally may be a little bit challenged. Kind of gives me some hope for the future. But it's Citizen Cope and the song Teresa with an H, Teresa. Number 6, I actually love the Dog Eat Dog album from Warrant. I don't know if you do. I love it. I know many of you kind of got on board, you know, with the debut and then the Cherry Pie stuff. And maybe you kind of lost your way when grunge hit. And you're like, oh, I can't listen to those long-haired guys. I got to listen to these guys wearing flannel shirts working a double shift at Subway. There's an interesting ballad on this album called Sad Teresa. Now, my Aunt Teresa, I don't know if she had a sad day in her whole life. It is a sad day for us that we've lost her, but it fits our motif, so we're going to go with that. Number 5, Joe Dolan. This is another guy not very familiar with the catalog, but the song is very interesting, and again, it's called Teresa. Number 4, one of the hottest names in rock and roll music right now is Youngblood. We're going to go back about 5 years, kind of the entry-level, gateway-type era of the Youngblood experience. Right now, he's everywhere, absolutely everywhere. And if you haven't heard that the first single off that EP that he's doing with Aerosmith, you owe it to yourself. Youngblood had a great song about Teresa, too, kind of like looking after her. Right? You don't have anything to worry about as long as I'm looking after you. It's actually a very, very sweet song. Number 3. This will make our friend B.J. Cummings happy. It's Cross Canadian Ragweed with Sweet Teresa, and I really like this song a lot. I'm not a jam band guy. Like, I like people that have talent and make money. B.J., a little different. But Sweet Teresa from Cross Canadian Ragweed is your number 3 track. Number 2, a band that I think a lot of people only know a handful of songs from, but the Jake Isles Band has a little more depth in the catalog than you think. Right? You know, everybody knows Centerfold and Freeze Frame and Love Stinks, but there's also a really sweet song called Teresa. And I dig it. I think you guys will too. And there's a lot of, you know, people forget, like in the 80s, bands actually had to work on an album, right? They had to work on an album. It wasn't just, you know, make a single and then go tour and sell a bunch of t-shirts. They had to put an album together. And there were some filler at times, but Jake Isles, I think, was a band that may be a little bit better than many people think. At number one, though, beautiful song. It's John Osborne. You remember John? John recorded the great Prince song that he wrote, and she recorded What If God Was One of Us? That's where you know her from. She had another big hit with Saint Teresa. Saint Teresa, your number one track. And again, we are at peace today, and it will be a difficult evening. And in the days ahead, obviously, you know, most of us that didn't have Teresa in our day-to-day lives will go back to those day-to-day lives. But I think about, you know, what Thanksgiving and Christmas will be like this year, you know, for her immediate family. It's going to take some getting used to. You know, it truly is. And unfortunately, you know, dying's part of living. But again, it goes back to the fact that it happened all so quickly. You know, there's something David Turner told me, and I've shared this with you guys before in multiple occasions, when tragedy has befallen us. I remember when we lost Keith Joseph Jr. and Sr., and I was very troubled from that. And I called David Turner, and he kind of talked me through it. And Dave said, you know, Steve, God makes no mistakes. And when these things happen, that's what I go back to. And I bet David Turner doesn't even know how much that has helped me over the years. But God makes no mistakes. And he kind of expounded upon that. Do you believe in God? Yes, I do. Do you believe that God's will is perfect? And yes, I do. Well, then we don't really have a right to question that. God makes no mistakes. And so the thing that I always think about when things like this happen, and I had somebody tell me this when we lost a baby, you know, said sometimes those that are taken from us are protected from a far worse evil. And death is not an end. And I think that God has a plan. And I'm a firm believer in that. And I hope you are as well. And but I have no doubt where my Aunt Teresa is. I know that I'll have an opportunity to see her again someday. And so, but again, please continue to remember my Uncle Skeeter, who is a Jones County legend, and that family as they begin to kind of learn to navigate life without her. And that's the real challenge in all of it, right? We know at some point these things are going to happen. It's not always the shock of the moment of losing them. It's learning to live without them that begins to be so difficult. And again, as I say, there are some things you never get over. You just kind of get on with. I remember losing my dad, and I was the last one in the hospital room. I stayed with him until the very end, until they came to wheel him away. I did not want him to be alone, even though that I knew that was just his physical body and presence, but that he was somewhere else. I knew that in my heart and soul. But there was a part of me, I just didn't want him to be alone. And so I stayed with him, and I kissed him on his forehead. Right before they came to get him, I said, sir, we have to get him. And I said, I understand. But I was very grateful that I was able to be there with my dad. And I found out that my cousins and my Uncle Skeeter were with my Aunt Teresa, able to hold her hand as she left this life for the next one. So again, reminder, no matter who you're involved with, right, no matter who you love, make sure that they know that you love them. It's so incredibly important, because you never know when it's going to be the last I love you ever get to say or hear. And so it's so precious. My favorite thing to ever hear in life is I love you too. You know, that and, you know, Bulldogs win. But that's all part of it. All wraps up into one big ball, right? It makes life worth living. You know, is that you get your love reciprocated from the people you love and the sports teams that you follow so fervently. So again, thanks as always for your support of the Top 10 List. You can make your own recommendations or questions or suggestions by hitting up Roy Samanti, my friend, at Dogmatic67, DAWGMATIC67. Find our great list on Spotify under that same handle. And you can find me on all forms of social media at Scout Steve R. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart, and why? Well, they have what we want. We want more Mississippi State merch. You can make Christmas very easy for yourself. Don't overthink it. Just get all the Bulldogs in your family more Mississippi State merchandise. We want that. We need that. We have to have that. I'm telling you, on behalf of the Bulldog fans in your life, don't overthink it. Either give us cash or give us Bulldog merch or tickets or whatever. That's what we want. We don't want the Jelly of the Month Club. Even though sometimes I wish I did have that. But not in favor of Mississippi State stuff, right? So, listen, Mom, it's just over 2 months away from Christmas. I don't mean to make you scared, but at the same time, make you aware that you're behind the game. And you could, this year, you can be that mom that kind of has everything detailed out. And you get a better selection by shopping soon, right? So visit Campus Bookmart next time you're in town for game day or just kind of passing through Starkville. If you can't make it to town or perhaps, you know, shopping day is a tough day for you, visit them online at campusbookmart.net. We'll give you some incentive. Promo code BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. Whether it's gift ideas, everything you need to fill out your fan cave, you can find it at Campus Bookmart. Be sure and check them out today and let them know that I sent you. I love them, and they will love you, too, because you're part of my people. We're all one big tribe, okay? Campus Bookmart, the only place you shop when you need Mississippi State merch. All right, want to talk a little bit about baseball. You know, we had three big events Saturday. You know, we had the open basketball practice that Dave Murray went and attended for us. Mike Nemeth covered the scrimmage at the Wahoo Stadium in Pensacola, and then Jacob Bain and I went to Gainesville. So, yeah, we were scattered out pretty well, but, yeah, it was a big day, big sporting day, big content day for us. And if you're a member at jeanspage.com, you benefited from all that stuff. But I want to kind of take you inside the numbers a little bit. Bulldogs win the first scrimmage against Florida State, and this is really more starters versus starters, I guess you could say. Bulldogs win 4-1. We had six hits to their five. Bulldogs score a couple there in the second inning and then just kind of tack on. Florida State scored late in the seventh, you know. So, whatevs, right? Bryce Chance, 1-for-3 in that game. Garrick Frey, 1-for-3 with a run scored. Noah Sullivan, 1-for-3. Reed Stallman goes 0-for-1. Blake Bevis goes 2-for-3 as your DH, also scored a run. James Nunley, 1-for-3. Ryan Ryder Woodson, 0-for-2 with a run scored. Kevin Maluski goes 0-for-3. Sean James, 0-for-3. And Jacob Parker, 0-for-1. Bulldogs did not commit an error and turned a two double plays, pardon me, left five on base. Nunley and Bevis both had doubles, and nobody hit a dinger. Stallman was hit by a pitch. Woodson had a stolen base. Nobody was caught stealing. On the pitching side of things, Ryan McPherson goes two hitless and scoreless innings. He did walk two. He struck out one. And then Thomas Valenkas comes in behind him and was absolutely electric. Two innings pitched, four strikeouts, no hits, no walks. He is expected to be your Friday night starter. Ben Davis working out of the pen. I think that'll continue. I think that's where he needs to be. He goes one inning, allows one hit, walks one, so a couple base runners, but nobody scores and gets a couple strikeouts. Dane Burns comes in, allows a hit, no runs, gets a strikeout. And then Tyler Pitzer comes in to pitch the seventh. He allowed three hits, including a run, struck out one. Pitzer got off to the big start, had the good summer, has just been up and down a little bit here as of late. And I hoped that maybe the fact that he was playing a new opponent, you know, because the Bulldogs see each other all the time, and you kind of get a scouting report on your own teammate. I was hoping he would kind of have a return to form against Florida State. I don't think he is really going to be a serious factor in the weekend rotation at this point. Almost done with fall ball. We'll see what it looks like in the spring, but I suspect that he will prove to be a guy that pitches on the weekends as a reliever or in the midweek, potentially as a starter. In addition to those three hits he allowed, he also had a hit by pitch. So not a good inning for him. So efficient offensively for Mississippi State and great pitching throughout until we get to the seventh. Could have been much worse. You know, allow four base runners and only give up to one run. Shows he has a little moxie, but at the same time, too, we don't want to go tempt fate. Looking at game number two, Bulldogs dropped this game. State actually got out I guess we were the visiting team. Yes, State gets out to a 1-0 lead. Florida State ties it. They take the lead there in the fourth. State ties it at 2-2 in the fifth. And then Florida State with 1 in the sixth and 2 in the seventh to win it 5-2. Bulldogs just 4 hits in the game. Florida State had 6. Kind of working through this. Peter Mershon was your left fielder. Yes, that's the younger brother of Dave Mershon. He goes 0-2 in the game. Was it? We're kind of off here a little bit. Yeah, he goes 0-2, but scores a run in the game. Drew Wires goes 1-3 with a run scored. Blake Bevis, again, playing first base this game, goes 1-4 in the game. Jacob Parker, the freshman, played center field, goes 2-3 and also has an RBI. Jackson Owen, the DH, 0-3. Andrew Raymond, the catcher, goes 0-2, but does have an RBI. Vitus Valenkis, 0-2. Gatwin Sanders goes 0-2. Garrick Fry, 0-2. Tanner Bellevue, the talented freshman from Petal High School, goes 0-1. We expect him to be a two-way standout. He will have the opportunity to play some in the field, but also pitch for us. Big, big arm, 97-98 from the right side. And he's also a kid that's got a lot of confidence. Nick Frontino, a guy that's played a lot of baseball this fall, too, at third base. And we think he is the third baseman of the future. Of course, it'll be Ace Reese this year. But Nick will get some opportunities, too. He went 1-2 in the ballgame. Pitching-wise, Charlie Foster goes 2 innings pitch, allows 2 hits, 1 run. And Charlie's been a little bit up and down as of late, too. We know what we're going to have with him. I think he's probably going to end up in a relief-type role. Duke Stone goes 2 innings, allows 1 hit, 1 run. It was earned, and a couple of strikeouts. No walks for the Bulldogs for the first 3 pitchers. William Kirk, who I think right now, if I had to pick a rotation, I think he's probably your Sunday guy. He goes 1 inning. Allows no hits, no runs, and has the 1 strikeout. Jack Bauer comes in. And again, it looks so easy for him, you know, but he's figuring some things out. He throws hard, but he's still kind of learning to pitch. And that's not me being disrespectful. He's got some of the best pitching coaches in the country working with him now. So we will see a much more refined product once we get into the season and then on into next year. Jack goes 1 inning, allows 1 hit. Also had a couple of walks and strikeout. And that's going to be the issue with Jack, too, is the control piece, right? Learning how to kind of harness that makes a difference. Parker Rhodes, a big arm, too. Young guy, we expect to do some good things. Didn't have a great inning against Florida State. Goes 1 inning, 2 hits, 2 runs, also a couple of walks. So, again, as we get deeper into these scrimmages, you can see pitching maybe not what we want it to be. But when you look at the first 5 or 6 innings, it's probably close to what we'd expect it to be. And that's what happens. Those guys that are kind of battling for roles and you're trying to identify where they fit, they're going to pitch later. No wild pitches in the game. We got a little bit of a snafu there with one of those things. But the reality of it is no wild pitches, no pass balls. Looks like State put good defense in the ballgame too. And so now we just kind of finish this thing up. We had a scrimmage today, too. I'll give you a few highlights from that, too. And, again, we're kind of winding this thing down. We had some rain today in the greater Starkville area. We wondered if we'd be able to get the scrimmage in. It works out just fine. And very offensive day today at Duty Noble Field. And 9-8 is your final as, the Maroons went over the Grays. And it's the final game of the four weeks of scrimmages. And it's kind of part of the deal, you know. And obviously we've got some things that we're going to do here, you know. But, it's just one of these things. Again, some guys that didn't pitch this weekend were able to pitch today, like Chris Billingsley pitched today. And he was a late signee. So, you know, we feel like that he's a guy that can help us. Brennan Sweeney's a guy that transferred in from South Carolina. He's another. Worked a couple of innings today. Braden Booth also pitched some today. Interested to see what happens with him. Jackson Logar is a guy that we signed out of the portal. And he's been a little bit up and down, too. And then JT Schnuer pitched late. And JT is a guy, too. You know, last year, had the bad outing against Troy, and we didn't see much of him the rest of the way. He's had really kind of an up-and-down fall, too, so I'm kind of interested to see what happens with him. But, fall baseball It's one of these things, you know, we get excited about it, and it's going to be over sooner than rather than later. But I'm excited about where we are. You know, people always want to know, Steve, what do you think? You know, Nemo has covered every scrimmage. I've covered a handful of them. So he's probably the best person to ask. But I'll just tell you, based on the observations of the few scrimmages that I've attended, I think it's pretty safe to say that we're going to be one of the better offensive teams in the country. Somebody asked me the other day, do you think this infield can hit 60 home runs? Yes, I do. You know, with Ace Reese back to good health, I absolutely do. I don't think there's much question. And you work in maybe Noah Sullivan and Maluski behind the plate or even Raymond, those guys may be able to do it on their own. Sean James plays at second. You know, Ryder Woodson's a guy that had some big flies last year. So, I think this is going to be a very good offensive team. And then when you begin to think about the decisions you've got to make in the outfield, that's going to be the hardest thing, right? You know, Blake Bevis, Noah Sullivan can both work some at first base. But you start working through Jacob Parker, a guy that a lot of people didn't expect to get to school. He's a guy that can play center field. Bryce Chance is a guy, obviously, that has proven to be a great Bulldog. Then you've got Aiden Teal. You got James Nunnally. I mean, you got a lot of guys out there. You've got options. And so Brian O'Connor has probably more offensive and defensive depth than we've had in a while. And even if you go back to that 2021 team, you know as well as I do, there were times we didn't get a lot of production from the bottom third of the order. And it took us a while at times to kind of settle in left field. You know, eventually Brad Cumbus takes over in left field. You know, you go back to the year before that, it took us a while to settle in center. You know, there's a lot of things that have to happen. But I think the pieces that we have to play with are probably as good as anybody in the country. And it's interesting to see all this Tony Vitello talk out there. The longer this thing goes, the more concerned I am that it's not going to happen. I'm not scared of Tony Vitello. I like Tony. I've met Tony. I've had a chance to visit with Tony. I do like him. I know a lot of people don't like the antics on the field. And he's told me, he goes, sometimes I just get too competitive. When I'm out there across lines, I want to win. But you talk to him away from the field, he's very well-spoken, very easy to talk to. You'd be surprised. You really would be. And we have a lot of mutual friends. But, you know, the thing that we're hearing about this whole Tony Vitello thing is it's about rev share, that he really doesn't want to leave. But there's a rev share situation. And you think about the tradition of Lady Vol basketball, that's not going to take a back seat. And so then you start to think about that aspect of it. How much money are you willing to allocate for baseball in a rev share? Especially when you've got one of the top women's basketball programs in the country historically. What, it's 7 national championships? Is that right? You know, Pat Summitt, obviously one of the biggest names in the history of the game. Well, you're not going to fund baseball at the expense of Lady Vol basketball. Tennessee baseball is new money in Knoxville. It is. I like watching them play. I like beating those guys, too. We don't beat them enough. But there's a lot of chatter about this. This is not a fire drill. That Tony really wants to stay, but he will absolutely leave. If I'm a San Francisco Giants, though, I'm going to make this decision very easy for him very, very soon. You got to get something settled sooner rather than later. But I think that what we can call this is kind of the O'Connor discipline. Because what's happened here is because of the commitment that Mississippi State has made to baseball, from a salary standpoint to a rev share standpoint, we are raising the price of poker for everybody else that wants to ante up. And if you look at what's happened on the recruiting trail in the last several weeks, how many times have you seen Mississippi State beat Tennessee head-to-head on high school players? Yeah, you go back and look at it. I believe every commitment, 6 of the 7 commitments we have for 27, all had offers from Tennessee. The one exception, I believe, was Devin Daniel from Ohio. And he was a guy that got offered from Georgia. And so you're already starting to reap the benefits of the financial commitment to baseball. And I believe, it's my opinion, I believe that's where the rubber meets the road in this Tennessee thing. It's like, hey, Mississippi State goes and hires Brian O'Connor, and he is right behind me salary-wise. And look at what they're doing rev share-wise. Look at what they're doing NIL-wise. And then you guys are allowing me to kind of dip behind that. And that's one of the things I think has to be kind of fleshed out here in the days ahead. And along those lines, you can expect Mississippi State to have another commitment on the baseball side, a very important one here in the days to come, that is also picking Mississippi State over Tennessee. So there is clearly a shift that is taking place when it comes to college baseball recruiting, which we certainly expect that to translate over to the field. When you've got one of the best coaching staffs in the country and the greatest cathedral in the history of college baseball, and now all of a sudden you're throwing your weight around, maybe like you haven't since the middle years of the Polk era, you start beginning to get even more excited about this because it starts on the recruiting trail. In every sport, right? That's the lifeblood of every athletic team is recruiting. And now we are beginning to recruit at a level that is commensurate with our financial and emotional investment in Bulldog baseball. Those are the things that fire you up, right? The scrimmages are great, right? What happened in the portal? Great. You've put together a great team. But as Brian O'Connor said the very first time that we met with him, he really doesn't want to be portal reliant. You want to go get some guys to fill in some gaps for you when you have some injuries, perhaps some guys that don't pan out, but you want the core nucleus of your team to be high school players that have multiple years of eligibility. And now you're beginning to see Mississippi State really make some advances in high school recruiting. And listen, Chris Simonis put together some good classes too, as did John Cohen, and certainly Andy Cannizzaro had a hand in that. But I believe we're on the cusp of seeing Mississippi State recruit like we haven't in decades. I firmly believe that because I think the product on the field is going to show everybody in college baseball that the giant has been awoken. And I think that's an important aspect of it. And I commend Zach Selman for getting this hire right. And I think people forget. There were a lot of people that thought this was a done deal before it was. You know, Texas A&M comes in late and basically says, we'll give you whatever you want. Give you a blank check. They elected to come here. And, of course, they were very far down the path last year trying to hire Brian O'Connor, and they went with Michael Early and just promoted him from within. Virginia tried very, 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 very hard to keep Brian O'Connor and that staff together in Virginia. And again, I think it speaks so much to who Brian O'Connor is as a coach and a man that Coach Kirby and Coach McMullen and basically all that staff, with the exception of the pitching coach, comes with him. So I firmly believe that we are in the early birth pangs of something very, very special. I believe that we are about to enter an era of Bulldog baseball that we have only dreamed of. I have shared with you guys many times, I have been very envious of LSU, partially because of the fact that they wrestled control of the SEC away from us after we had it for so many years in the 80s, and then they took it to a level that we never did. And I have a lot of respect for LSU baseball. I love beating them. I'm not going to lie about that because I think it's always a barometer of what kind of season we're going to have. But Maneri on this for a while. And now I believe there is an opportunity for us to kind of wrestle things back from Jay Johnson. Listen, they're well-heeled down in Baton Rouge. Got a great fan base, great support, you know, really good stadium. I wouldn't say great, but it's a place with a lot of history. But, again, they've kind of risen back to the mountaintop. I mean, you know, two of the last three national championships belong to them. I mean, and there's no denying that LSU is the standard in which everybody else is measured. But I believe for the first time in a long time, we have put ourselves in a position to maybe even outpace LSU. And that's, you know, they're not going to take that lying down, obviously. But the reality of this is Mississippi State has taken some dramatic steps since the end of last season to take this baseball program to new levels. And very grateful to Chris Simonis and his staff for all they did for us. Very, very grateful for the NAFL championship, but also, too, I mean, just, you know, the class and dignity in which they conducted themselves. But that era is now closed. And now we're building upon that, right? That's the important thing, that we start getting that cascading effect as you begin to reach new heights. And I believe that is really what we're on the cusp of. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, without question. Bring a large group to town. How many times have you said, hey, let's all get together, and then everybody is scattered all over the county in an Airbnb or a hotel room? It's difficult to coordinate schedules because you can't get a hold of everybody, and somebody wanted to go shopping this time. You stay under one roof, it's a lot easier to make those plans. You owe it to yourself and to your friends, your family group, to get together at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. We've stayed there. We had a blast. You will too. Yeah, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You will have a great time at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, plenty of parking. It's the old renovated club, country club clubhouse out past the Highlands off 182, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. Great amenities. You get the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area, 6 bedrooms, 2 baths, soon to be 3. But you got everything you need. And whether it's a ballgame weekend or not, you know, you're going to have a great time there. Come to town, maybe check out some of your favorite shops, your great boutiques around town, some of your favorite restaurants where maybe things aren't quite so busy in town. Perhaps you got some vacation time that you need to spend before you lose it. And rather than just kind of give that back to them, why don't you just plan maybe a holiday trip to come up here, do some shopping around town, just kind of enjoy the joy of Starkville. Now, Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page will auto-populate. In addition to that, there'll be some booking options. You can book through Airbnb or VRBO, completely up to you. Or you can book through the Evolve website and save some money. Promo code BSR10, that's Beautiful Steve Robertson 10, BSR10, gets you 10% off your stay. You could pay more, but why, right? When I can stay at the same quality place at a discounted rate, I'm obviously going to jump on that. You should too. Be sure and stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. All right, final segment of the show, and we'll get ready to get out of here. And actually, I'm going to finish this thing up on Tuesday night. So you're getting two shows, right? Monday was late. Wednesday is early. So this will probably get you through Wednesday and Thursday, and then you'll get my smiling face and raspy voice back on Friday. I'm starting to feel a little bit better. But it's been one of those things, man. It's kind of a long, lingering type cold type situation. A lot of people have dealt with the crud too. I was hoping to be at the coaches show Wednesday night, but we've got to run down to Ellisville and take care of family, as you guys are well aware. A lot of people have asked me about football recruiting. You know, Steve, where do you think we are? You know, I had a chance to go see Davin Young. He is our commitment from Theodore High School. Saw him on Friday night in a win over Gulf Shores High School. Of course, the Dolphins, coached by one Mark Hudspeth. Got a chance to visit with him and Tyler. Loved him to death, man. Absolutely so glad that they crossed our path. And talking to Tyler, too, she tells me, man, how much simpler life is without recruiting, right? That they can just go get out on the lake house or go get out on the boat and plug in the TV and just kind of enjoy being a family. A lot of chatter that Gunner, the son, may come to state. So that kind of gives them an opportunity to come back up here and visit with us. And really happy for them. Really happy for them. And glad to call them friends. But Davin Young, I was more pleased with him than I expected to be. I had watched a little huddle video before I went up there, and I felt like that his quality of play this year was better than last year. And that's certainly what you want. You want the ascending player. But we weren't there no time. The next thing you know, he's knifing through and getting a big sack. Your Gulf Shores is driving down the field. He gets the big sack. Got a second one before the half. I guess he had about a half dozen tackles there in the first half. Great lower half. Got to get to work in the weight room and kind of add some upper body strength. You know, on the high school level, he can kind of get away with that. But here, it's going to be different. He tells me he's got a great relationship with David Turner. Talks to him all the time. Super excited to get here. And there were a lot of people when, you know, State was kind of making some adjustments to the class, some people suggested he would be one of them. That's just not the case, at least not at this point. I think after seeing him play, too, this is a guy, too, that is a developmental piece. We've talked about, you know, the history of Mississippi State defensive line play under David Turner, some of the better players that we've had have not necessarily been highly recruited. Davin Young is a guy that came to camp, had a good camp showing, earns the offer, comes back on an official visit, makes a decision, and the offer sheet is not impressive. But the film this year, to me, is more encouraging, and there's nothing that ever, ever will replace an in-person eval. Nothing. And I share that because there are some things that don't show up on a huddle video, right? You watch the huddle video, you can watch how they move around a little bit. But what do they do on the sidelines when there is adversity? What kind of teammate are they? Are they engaged in a game? Or are they just kind of sitting back, just waiting for their turn to go on the field again? Are they cheering on the offense? You know, are they a leader in times of adversity? And Davin Young is all those things. They got up 21-0 in this game. And Gulf Shores came roaring right back and had a chance to win. I guess they got 20-0. And then it went in 20-14, I think it was. But anyway, I forget the score. But the reality of it is, it would have been very easy when the momentum shifted and the Gulf Shores fans got really engaged, because in the second half, they owned the game. And they had to kind of hang on. And Davin Young was very, very demonstrative and very much an emotional leader. And he's not a vocal kid, right? I mean, so you can kind of tell, you know, interviewing him one-on-one, you can tell he wasn't quite comfortable with that. But talking to Coach Mask, he'll tell you, he's just kind of a quiet leader. But when the game was on the line, Davin Young was keeping that sideline rocking. And I think that's an important aspect of that. This weekend, we plan to go see Jaden Cration at Canton High School. They're going to play against Ridgeland. We've got to make all our plans for that. But we'll shoot down there and kind of check him out. We try to get out and go see somebody every Friday night during football season to give you guys some content, but also, too, to kind of assess where they are in their development and kind of see how are they performing as a senior. We've had some guys in the past, including this year, that kind of get a little senioritis. And a lot of guys make their commitment. They begin to kind of slow down and don't play hard. And the evaluation process continues. I don't care who you are or where you're from. You can't give a coaching staff a red flag. And certainly if you're committed, you can't start coasting to the finish line. You got to continue to work hard. I mean, we had a young man recently that, I guess they had 77, I won't say who, but they had 77 plays, defensive plays, and our commitment was on the field at like 20, 22 plays. So if you're not a regular starter or you're not playing the majority of the snaps at your position as a senior, you can't play in a Southeastern Conference. And, of course, you know, the enemies of Mississippi State make it seem like the sky has fallen when we're the ones making the adjustments. And I think that's a thing that's important to understand, too. I've tried to prepare you guys on the show so when it happened, you could help me beat back some of this negativity in the Facebook groups, because not all those people are smart like you. They don't all listen to the Boneyard. But I saw a few people out there say, hey, the Boneyard is your friend. If you listen to the Boneyard, you'd know this. These things were coming. That's part of my role in this process, is to make you guys the most informed Mississippi State fans in your circle of friends. So when you're at the water cooler, when people are saying, hey, what do you think about this? Well, you know, you don't even have to give me credit. I wish you would, but you don't have to. You know, I want you guys to be able to be very vocal in those exchanges. Got some basketball stuff coming up. You know, we had media days last week. I think that was an important thing for us. And a lot of people have said, you know, Steve, I think this is Chris Jan's most talented team. I think we say that every year because we want it to be true. I don't know that it's true. I hope that it's true. I don't know that it's true. I still worry a little bit about the post. I think we'll be better rebounding and defensively. I don't know at this point if we're going to be able to run a lot of offense through the post. That kind of remains to be seen. But I have a tremendous amount of respect and confidence in Chris Jan's. You and I both know that Chris Jans is going to do everything he can to get us to an NCAA tournament. And we went a long time without going. We've gone 3 years in a row, and I don't want us to take that for granted. That's probably something we should absolutely trumpet about the maturation of this program under Chris Jans' direction, is we've only done this one time in school history. Yeah. And so, yeah, we want to get out of the first weekend, absolutely. So we'll see how things develop. And again, it's a pretty beefy non-conference schedule. So I think we'll be a little more war ready But I think, the key to this team this year is going to be post-play. Obviously, you know what Hub is going to give you. You need a third score. You do. And there were times last year we had it. Other times we didn't. When we didn't have it, we struggled, right, including in the NCAA tournament. And so I think when you guys have an opportunity to see this team play, you're going to be excited. But I think you're also going to be a little bit frustrated in the beginning as we kind of figure out roles. Chris Jansen's got to figure out who he can trust. But don't ever let it be, just something that we expect. We expect to make the tournament every year. I wish that were the case, but I don't think we can look back and just say, hey, these 3 years have not meant anything. I think those that love Mississippi State basketball will tell you we have laid a very solid foundation, and we now have the opportunity to build upon that. And I do think from a guard standpoint, we should be better than we were last year. Of course, we had a transfer come in and ultimately not contribute after the first few games. And I think that mattered in the end. I think it mattered significantly. But we've got to be able to protect the home court this year. I mean, how many times last year do we have the chance to have that defining home win and we couldn't get it done until much later? I still think Bain and I talked about this on Saturday on the drive back from Gainesville. Sometimes I wonder what would have happened with our season and our seeding had that Keyshawn Murphy dunk went down against Alabama. What would have happened in Humphrey Coliseum that night and in the nights to follow? I mean, it's like this. It just felt like a defining moment of the season. We were able to overcome it, but down the stretch, we struggled at times. Missouri came in and just couldn't miss, and then we go to Oklahoma. And there were a lot of people saying, hey, we don't deserve to be in the tournament. You look at the full resume. You don't just look at the last handful of games. But, Chris Jans obviously learns every year, like all of us. His staff learns. And, we've done a really good job high school recruiting as well. And we think we've got some interesting pieces out of the portal. And I think we're going to be very athletic in the portal. So I think there obviously is the possibility for us to run some offense through the five. But when you look at the length that we have out there, it's going to be very important. And Dave Murray tells us that the Bartlett looked really good. That's encouraging, right? When you think about him, because how many times have we been through this, right? You get the highly recruited post player, and then it takes a while for him to kind of get going. Mario Austin's probably the rare exception to that rule, right? But when you hear Bartlett is a guy that may be able to give us 10, 12 minutes a game, and maybe that's the expectation, I think it bodes well for our season. And, listen, I want Mississippi State to win in everything. And there's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. I absolutely want State to win. I know you guys do as well. And I think that's one of those things that we begin to kind of sometimes forget how far we've come compared to the Rick Ray years. And, there's some people that will tell you. They were skeptical of the hire when we made it. And I think you guys were too. And then we were proven correct. We'd love to be surprised. When we hired Chris Jans, you guys were jacked. And you haven't been surprised. You've been kind of validated in your work. Kind of switching gears here. Mississippi State soccer, a lot of people thought we would kind of take a step back this year. We have a little bit, obviously. We're not leading the SEC. But the ladies are 10-4-1 this year. 5-3-1 in the SEC. And you got some big wins in a non-conference, as you guys are well aware, with that big win over Wake Forest. That was very significant. You get an SEC play, of course, you beat number one Tennessee. That's an RPI climber, for sure. We have the tie against Auburn, and then we get Missouri. We beat Ole Miss like we always do. And then you go to Arkansas. Things have been a little bit different as of late. In the month of October, we have not been quite as efficient as we want to be. But we get beat 4-2 at Arkansas. And a game that just kind of got away from us early. And then we lose at Florida, a game that we fully expected to win. And then Vanderbilt gets us 5-1. But we snapped that three-game losing streak with a win over Alabama in Tuscaloosa on Sunday. We will be back in action to close out the regular season this Sunday, October 26th. That's going to be home against Georgia. And so SEC tournament, of course, will be November the 2nd. But, it's so interesting. It's like it all happens so quickly. Before it's all said and done, next thing the season's over. And, you know, I've enjoyed covering it. I haven't covered it as much this year. You know, we've had so much going on the football side and travel. Sometimes the schedules just haven't lined up. But kind of looking at the standings right now, just to kind of see where we are, Arkansas leads the SEC with 20 conference points. Just behind them is Vanderbilt with 19, and they've won five games in a row. So they're red hot, could be a team that could, you know, make a run at this thing. Georgia, Mississippi State's final opponent of the year, they've got 18 conference points. They're 5-1-3 in the conference, 9-3-5 overall. On the road, like it is for everybody else, it's a little more of a challenge. They're 3-1-2 on the road, coming off a draw over the weekend. And then there's Tennessee and Mississippi State. So we fully expect to be an NCAA tournament team again. Probably not going to host, but you know, we're certainly in a position that we would make an NCAA tournament again. And you know, we'll just kind of see how things go. And again, I think this team has exceeded expectations because of what we lost last year. I mean, how many players we lost and actually went pro, and Ali Perry elects to come back and probably will get some All-American consideration here in the postseason. But the reality of it is you know, this soccer program is still growing and building. And so, again, if you're in town for the football game this weekend, maybe consider staying over and going out for the regular season finale against Georgia. As Coach Nick Zimmerman and them try to close it out on a strong note before the SEC tournament. But nevertheless, a lot of things to be excited about here at Mississippi State. If you're a Bulldog fan, we got plenty to cheer for. Of course, we need to find a way to beat Texas this weekend on the football field. You beat Texas this weekend, you feel a whole lot better about the home stretch, right? You only got five games left. Three of them are at home against some very difficult competition. Obviously, Texas, a top 25 team. Missouri, a top 25 team. Ole Miss, a top 25 team. And you got to go to Arkansas. Oh, I guess you got Georgia coming in too. We go to Missouri. Yeah, we go to Missouri. So you're running out of opportunities. And you need to find a way to win this weekend. I think it's a must-win game in many respects if we truly hope to make a bowl game. You know, Arkansas has been somewhat resurgent offensively, so that's far from a gimme. Georgia, very talented team. You know, they got national championship aspirations. They got to come to Starkville, and maybe they haven't been as good as they've been in recent years, but they're still really good. So we got to. I think this Texas is probably the best chance for us of the next couple of games to get a dub. You get this one, you feel a whole lot better about picking up one more down the stretch. So we got to find a way to get that done. If you hadn't done so, come visit us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. If you're a person that suffers with chronic anxiety or chronic pain, or maybe you just want to break or try something different, maybe improve the quality of your sleep, we may be able to help you with that. We've helped many others. Visit truerest.com to learn more about that. Floating is an incredible experience, and it's not like floating in your pool. Some people think that's what it is. It's not. You're going to float on top of the water effortlessly. Allows your spine to kind of relax, allows all your little aches and pains to kind of get some treatment. You can come for a free tour. You know, you can follow us on social media. It's True Rest Float Spa Starville on Instagram, TikTok, all that good stuff. But call 662-268-7601. You can speak directly to my wife, Dana. She can answer any questions you may have, and you can schedule over the phone, or you can download the True Rest app and schedule online. It may make a difference to us, but if you call in, it's a little more of a mom-and-pop type thing, right? You call in and you're getting your questions answered because you can't ask a website, right? Visit DutyNobleBook.com. You can get signed copies of The Dude, Flim Flam, Alpha Dog, Stark Villains, Dog Pile, When the Bottom Falls. About time to start writing another one, don't you think? But, yeah, The Dude been on the Mississippi bestseller list for a solid year, and thank you guys so much for that. Means a lot to me and to the Noble family. And can join us over at jeanspage.com. If you need a discount, you can get one. You can get 30% off the annual subscription price right now. However, if you pay the full price, you get the benefit of the Paramount Plus streaming platform for free as part of your subscription. That's a great incentive. And the programming on there is outstanding. Not just all the old movies and things of that nature, but all the original programming like Tulsa King and Landman. You have access to all that, and you can know what everybody's talking about. And there are a lot of people out there, too, that may already be subscribing to the Paramount Plus. And this is a benefit for you to do both, right? You can subscribe to Gene's page and cancel that and get the benefit of both services for one low annual price. We work exceptionally hard over there, and we do our best to give you guys the most up-to-date information on Mississippi State sports the world has ever seen. I'm going to get out of here. And again, it's been an interesting day, and I wanted to get this up. I didn't want there to be any stress or delays on Wednesday. So back-to-back shows, two full 90-minute shows in one day. And again, as I promised, we'd get this done for you. So now we're back on schedule. So Wednesday, we'll get it done. Or excuse me, Friday, we'll get it done as normal. So again, I know you guys understand, but I do apologize. I know I have people messaging me, hey, no Monday Boneyard. And, you know, when you're dealing with, you know, family issues, sometimes you just don't want to talk about it. I have people calling me today, and I haven't really answered the phone. Matter of fact, I don't even think I called my wife today. I've texted her a few times. I just haven't felt like talking to anybody and kind of dealing with all that back and forth. And I know you guys get it. Sometimes you just get in that mood. And I just wanted to work today. I just wanted to work and kind of stay busy, kind of knowing that Wednesday's going to be an emotional day. And so, again, please pray for us and our family, and certainly my Uncle Skeeter and the family as they kind of move forward here into the holiday season and into a new life, a life that they've never known and a life they knew that would come at some point, but probably came sooner than anybody expected. I love each and every one of you, whether you love me back or not, and I can tell you that your life has value. And if nobody else has told you, I want you to be on this side of the green grass, and I want you to be excited about your life and what is to come. The best is yet to come. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home. These are our best deals of the year. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday sale now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.